Howdy do, buckaroos. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observation Podcast for Friday, December 14th, 2018. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Oh, hey there.
And also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy Friday.
It's been forever since I had you on the show. the first thing I want to talk about today and stuff Andrew covered for Mac Observer, we have there's an interesting conversation going on right now about 5G mobile networks and phones that will or will not support those. You want to tell us more about that?
Yeah, I basically just made a link to an article I was reading, and basically I think the 5G thing is overhyped because carriers are saying that 2020 is going to be the year of 5G, and you know, we have certain carriers like around manufacturers, like I think Samsung said they would have a 5G phone next year. Mm-hmm. So you'll have a 5G phone without a 5G network. So it's going to be useless except for testing. Mm-hmm. And there are just certain technological limitations with 5G. For example, the frequency it uses is short range, and it's easily blocked by a lot of things, so you would have to completely blanket a city with these antennas. So,
okay.
In my opinion, I don't think we're going to see wide rollout until like 2030. I'm kind of conservative on that.
Yeah, it doesn't. That's one of the things that I heard about it as well, was how easily the signal is blocked. And if you think about over time, let's say the last 10 years, as cell phone networks have evolved and gotten faster, or coverage has penetrated more thoroughly into places, like, you know, in the old days, like, and basically the old days is before iPhones, because most people didn't really have much besides a BlackBerry at that point. So in the old days, when, you know, there were phones that couldn't get reception inside certain buildings, you know, and that's not an issue in a lot of places anymore. And one of the sort of engineering issues that a lot of places have, that a lot of companies have that are trying to get mobile signal everywhere, is places like New York City, where everything is made of concrete and steel, and it creates these long valleys when you have all these really tall buildings, you know, so there's no way for signal to sort of, you know, get all the way down to the ground where people are standing and holding their phones. So mm-hmm. like finding those kinds of issues in the first place, like with 3G rollout and things like that. You know, iPhones had 3G before a lot of networks had 3G. So, you know, having that Samsung phone that will do 5G, even though there really isn't any, like, I remember what that felt like. But I also remember being a person in a room with a bunch of other people who were all trying to be on their phones talking about something at the same time, whether it was Twitter or it was texting people or it was, you know, trying to share something on Facebook. And I remember being at events where if there were a couple of hundred people there, you could pull down a cell tower and keep anybody from having reception at all. So I sort of had a hope that maybe mobile technology had evolved beyond that. But it doesn't sound like 5G is going to do anybody a lot of favors. Are there any upsides to this besides being, you know, easily blockable and very shortwave?
Well, yeah. So 5G is going to be very fast. Like, we're talking like gigahertz speeds, gigabits per second. So if it ever does become widespread, this would be so fast that it could replace broadband, like cable broadband, because it's that fast.
Wow.
So there is one upside to it, at least.
If you can get reception inside.
Yeah. The article I linked to is from Ars Technica, and they were saying that, so 5G is on the millimeter wave spectrum, and it can be blocked by buildings, trees, your hand, and even the air itself.
Okay. So if you live in a place with a lot of pollution, then your speed will suck?
any air, I guess.
Oh, okay. Because
part of the spectrum can be absorbed by oxygen.
Oh, well, fantastic. Yeah. Interesting. So 5G sounds like a winner. Yeah.
I did a piece a few weeks ago talking to some people here. Someone from Deloitte, the head of TMT, global head of TMT research at Deloitte, talking about 5G run. And I would say he was, I don't want to put words into his mouth. We can link to the piece in the show notes. Mm-hmm. But he was more positive about it, I would say, than the picture so far we've painted. And he didn't pretend there were no concerns, but, you know, here in the UK, we've got have announced that they're going to bring 5G to 16 cities next year as a pilot.
Which remote company was phone.
That was EE.
EE, okay.
Oh, wow.
You have Vodafone, who is also 5G here, but although it's behind companies like EE and BT, but thinks it's around the same as basically 3 and O2. So it's pretty competitive here. Companies in the UK in particular are really looking at this. And I think the point is it is going to be seriously fast when we get there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. But it seems unfortunate that, like, one of the things that hinders this particular reception, this particular network, is the thing that makes the Earth habitable for people.
Yeah. So, like, I'm not sure how they're going to get around that.
It's kind of where I'm hung up. If I'm operational, my phone isn't. Like, seems sort of weird to me. So
yeah, I mean, we're looking at times of kind of that we will get of kind of half a gigabit a second.
I'm sorry, I'm just having a hard time processing getting that kind of speed on my phone. That sounds amazing. Every once in a while, I get the opportunity to talk to somebody who does not live in the United States, and the subject of phones comes up inevitably. Or internet access in some form or another. And it's always sort of interesting when I say something about how this works or how that works or what it costs. And it's sort of funny to get that look from other people in the rest of the world who go, "Oh, you adorable Americans." So there's a whole lot of that that happens. I won't lie. But how does it sound? How likely does it sound, Andrew, that this is going to roll out in a, first of all, how likely does it sound that it's going to roll out on a scale where it's going to actually matter whether or not iPhones support it? Because it sounds like you think, like, widespread 2030.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is likely that it'll eventually roll out and we'll all get it. Apple said they won't have a 5G iPhone until at least 2020. But mm-hmm. My opinion is just that it's going to be a little bit slower than everyone else is saying.
Yeah, that sounds realistic to me as well. And, you know, Apple has jumped the gun already. Like I said, I remember having a 3G iPhone, and AT&T's network was not ready for iPhone levels of people to go stampeding onto their 3G network. So hopefully everybody's learned a little bit since then, and networks have scaled better since then, I'd like to think. So, you know, maybe it's better that Apple's holding off, because maybe Apple's just sort of like, maybe Apple still remembers the 3G rollout and is trying to get to the point where there's enough network that it's going to matter that that's an antenna that you have in your phone.
So I think you've got a really good point here, Kelly, from what I've done looking into this. Everyone who you kind of read or speak to about 5G and Apple basically says out when it works. They're happy to wait and get it right first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially because there's nothing more frustrating than having access to a dramatically faster network, but only in short bursts. So only if you're in a certain place do you get like that kind of speed. And then the rest of the time you're stuck with the mere mortal last gen network. It's unbelievably frustrating. Now, granted, those speeds are orders of magnitude faster now than they were when the 3G rollout was the thing that was happening, or even, you know, 4G and LTE. So having that stuff, having enough of that network available that when you, and let's face it, like, the iPhone is a force. And if you're going to unleash that force on your network, you need to make sure your network is ready. So I personally don't see any problem with that. Like, if I was buying a new phone, I don't think I would be a person who would hold off just because it doesn't have 5G support, because, you know, that first stretch where there is 5G is going to be weird in other ways anyway. You know, rolling out something new, particularly on a new network, is always going to be a little bit rough. Like, it's never super smooth, and most of the reason for that is because you're dealing with technology.
Yeah. And to clarify a bit, I was just thinking about this. So when I say widespread rollout, I mean not just in the major cities in the United States.
Right.
Like, maybe we will have one big city like New York having 5G in 2020, 2021, something like that. But, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not going to reach rural areas until years later, I don't think.
So what you're saying is, I might have it in 2020 or 2021, but you aren't going to have it until later.
Nope.
Okay.
<Yeah.
laughs> So I could see that, particularly because there's a lot of stuff that there's a lot of places that end up being test beds, you know, as they sort of scale up. So, you know, we're going to try it in parts of New York or parts of LA, and then try it in some other places, you know, like, let's try someplace with trees. And so they pick Portland or Seattle to try some of this network stuff and see, yeah. you know, what happens with that. So I'm curious to see where this goes, because I don't think we know enough about how excited carriers are about this yet, or manufacturers, I mean, of the devices that would support these networks. I'm not hearing a whole bunch about that yet. And we haven't heard lots about deployment plans for 5G. So we don't know what the rollout, you know, we don't know a whole lot about what the rollout's going to look like at this point, at least in the US. So we will definitely talk more about this as we get more information, and we will have Charlotte back to mock the Americans and their adorable version of what cell phone infrastructure actually looks like.
Slow.
Yeah, I just imagine like people come here from other countries, you know, on vacation or something, and just go, my phone is broken. Like, what's happening? They're all at the Apple store going, why is it? No, that's just the speed here. So in my mind, that's what happens. Anyway, let's move on and talk about our sponsors. Our first sponsor today is OpsGenie from Atlassian. OpsGenie empowers dev and ops teams to plan for service disruptions and stay in control during unplanned disruptions as well. Teams have the power to respond quickly and efficiently, and the right people get notified thanks to integration with lots and lots of services. So if you go visit OpsGenie.com, OpsGenie.com today, you can sign up to get a free company account and add up to 5 team members. Our other sponsor today is Jamf Now, and Jamf Now helps you set up, manage, and protect your Apple devices on demand. And the reason that's important is because, particularly if you are managing devices for people who maybe don't live in the same house or even city or state as you, you have access to all of that information. So they support macOS and iOS devices, so you can get everybody's computers and everybody's iPhones and iPads all on your web dashboard, and you can keep track of lots of information about them. You can make sure everybody's on the latest operating system or not, if you're hearing that there's trouble. You can make sure that email settings and Wi-Fi settings and all kinds of things are able to be updated regularly if they need it, or even just locked down so that somebody can't go in and accidentally delete stuff. This is great for family members, if you're a family member tech support person, if you are a person with a small business and you have a few devices out there and, you know, you've got a bunch of company iPhones, this is a really good way to manage those as well. 3 devices are supported for free, and additional devices are just $2 a month. So if you head over to the Jamf website, that's jamf.com/TDO, you can sign up for your free account today. Now, the other topic we want to talk about is tied to 5G. In a way, and that is Qualcomm and Apple and modems.
They are good friends. They love each other.
That love, we're feeling it.
Oh, yeah. I took a look at this one today because Apple has said that it will release a couple of iOS updates for China that apparently deal with these patent infringements, which Apple denies it has infringed any Qualcomm patents, because there was the whole thing earlier this week where a court in China banned the sale of certain iPhone models because at the request of Qualcomm. Ow.
Okay. So what I'm curious about, and I'm not sure if either of you actually have the answer to this, is what those updates entail. Like, why do they have to push? How is this issue something that can be solved with a software update?
That I'm not sure. And it's worth noting that Qualcomm itself didn't respond very well to this.
I'm surprised.
Their general counsel said disregard and violate the court's orders. Apple are legally obliged to immediately cease sales offers and sale an importation of the devices identified in the orders and to prove compliance in court. They're not happy. They still don't believe what they are meant to. Look, I'm not a patent lawyer. I can't tell you if Apple is infringed anything or not. All I know is they are rather strenuously denying it and immediately put an appeal on Monday.
Okay. So, Andrew, do you have information about this?
I don't know how true it is, but one thing I had read this morning was that this update might be a forced update for iOS 12, because this article said that the specific software things that these patents were referring to is only in pre-iOS versions. That is why only the old iPhones were banned, not the newest ones.
Ah, okay.
The older iPhones were banned because Qualcomm put in their bid before those iPhones existed.
Oh.
Okay. So it covers everything up to the X, basically. XS, XS Plus, and XR are not covered by this.
Okay. Interesting.
And it's interesting, Andrew, saying about a forced iOS 12 update. I'm not sure that can be right. It might be. But, I mean, Apple are trying to say these are very minor updates.
Mm-hmm.
Just back to your question, Kelly.
Yeah, and that was the thing I was sort of wondering about, because my impression of the Apple Qualcomm case is that this is a hardware issue. And unless there's multiple cases that I'm just not remembering, and which is also entirely possible. So the thing that I was thinking about was, like, how does a software update solve an issue that's an ongoing court case about hardware, which modems are hardware. So
yeah,
that was the thing that I was wondering about when I was looking at what was going on with this case in particular.
Yeah. So the two patents, for people that haven't been following this as obsessively as Andrew and I, are essentially relate to things to do with resizing of photos on your phone and to do with touch. This escalated. This went into the Chinese court in October 2017.
Okay.
The specific thing has been rumbling on a year. We've had Qualcomm CEO Stephen Molyneux being on CNBC saying, oh, we're going to sort this all soon. And then suddenly this has escalated again.
Okay.
So here's my question for you, Charlotte. Why did this happen? Because the first thing that I thought of when I was reading the latest news was, since when does China care about intellectual property?
This is a very valid question.
Terrible cynic. Well, the important context, as I understand it, an element of a US trade war thing happening with the current issues around that, I think my impression is this has also been dragged into it.
Okay.
Okay. And to be corrected on that, but that is kind of, I think, the wider context.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The wider context.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, that makes sense. Like, I can see, I totally see where that would be. If what this really comes down to is sort of the back and forth of some things, that makes a lot more sense, it feels like. So I could totally see that. Just like with 5G rollout, when we have more to tell you about what's happening with Apple versus Qualcomm, whether it's tactics including software updates or there's actually something decided in the case, we will definitely be sure to talk to you about that here on the show. And I will probably have both of you back to do that. So, Andrew, thanks for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Charlotte, thank you so much for joining us today, knowing that you're calling in from the future and that you are headed straight into your weekend once we're done here.
Happy weekend to everyone. And yeah, we'll definitely watch this Qualcomm Apple thing, because it's kind of fascinating how it's just no one can fix it.
that's sort of what I've been wondering about too. Wow. So
it's fascinating.
Yeah, we'll find out more. And but we're going to do that. Yeah, we're going to do that after the weekend. And everyone, I hope you have a great weekend. I will talk to you again on Monday. Until then, be excellent to each other.